Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 193. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Wearing my Santa hat here in Bloomington.
And Phil Wilson.
Guten Morgen.
And we're going to have Julio Ojeda Zapata joining us in just a little bit. But first, we have to talk about the past week. So what happened with that manufacturing tour, Graham?
That was Phil.
What manufacturing?
Was that Phil?
That was Phil, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, good. Manufacturing.
Good. Tour. I thought I totally lost it there.
Well, you did. You have.
It was put on by Arduino MN.
I have.
Yeah, it was put on by Arduino MN. About 15 of us piled into a van yesterday and did a kind of a tour of some of the smaller manufacturing firms in the Twin Cities that would cater more towards the hardware space. And it was very interesting. We had a good time. Went to Modern Molding first thing yesterday to see an injection molding shop underway. Very interesting stuff over there. So. Then went off to Advanced Circuits to see a few circuit boards made, and then wrapped up the evening at P Soup in St. Paul.
What does P Soup do?
P Soup does some small hardware stuff. They've got all the CNC machines and things like that. So, yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
You didn't venture all the way out to like Proto Labs or anything big like that,
dude. We went past Proto Labs. So,
that's way out west, though, isn't it? Like Maple. Yep. Lake or something, or
what else is out there? I've forgotten, but yeah, we went past Proto Labs.
You went that far, huh?
Oh,
in
yeah,
this van,
yeah, sure did. And then we went down and lived in the van down by the river.
All right, so here's a question for you. Do any of these, like the injection molding company, do they accept 3D printed prototypes?
Some of them will, yes.
They will? So they're all geared for that now.
They're kind of into it now.
Okay. Okay.
P-Soup does some of that stuff. But as far as, Modern Molding, I didn't see any 3D machines there, but they have a good business going and they're really set for expansion, which is really good to see because this is my one little rant. You know, we've talked a lot about Spark sockets. We've talked about the Pebble Watch and some of the other Kickstarter campaigns. The downside of at least two of the three that I've invested in, they're taking all their business to China.
Yeah.
For molding, injection molding, and some of the hardware pieces, and I kind of think that sucks. So I was really interested to see what our capabilities are here. The problem is trying to compete on price. And I have no doubt that the quality is better, even done locally here or stateside. But the price is just, it's so hard to overcome. I would like to see some of these smaller, especially Kickstarter stuff, keep their money here. And no matter how menial the job is, I think that the business should stay here.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Where was that MacBook Pro that you're using made?
I know. Shut up.
Where was that iPad made?
I know. Shut up.
Where was your Calvin Klein underwear made?
But made or assembled, you have to remember that
the intellectual property is
different
here.
The chips. Yeah, the design
is here. The implementation is wherever.
Yes, the intellectual property is only generates so much income and so much, revenue and so much economic growth. I mean, and it's a limited number of people, when actual manufacturing, it impacts so many more people. Do you disagree?
Well, I think that the ship has sailed on manufacturing in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well,
except for some things like handmade stuff and other artisanal
cottage industry.
Types of products. I don't see large scale except for like automobiles, which make a lot more sense to make here than to ship from some foreign land.
Well, so here's what I think is going to be the big shift, though, and the reason that I asked about 3D print or about 3D printing is Staples announced yesterday, Staples Easy 3D, and they're going to be offering 3D printing at Staples stores.
There you go.
And so that's where I think, you know, Tim, I agree with you that, you know, a lot of the hands-on manufacturing stuff, but in terms of, you know, creating the value and being able to potentially even build it here by printing them, if you will, I think is eventually going to shift things back in some, you know, in some ways, not fully.
I got to tell you guys, I had fun at the Blur conference in Denver a couple weeks ago with MakerBot and PrinterBot both being there. So got a chance to hear both of those guys speak and interact with them a little bit and learn a lot more about what's going on space.
Did they by any chance have, there's a new scanner that you can scan your head and actually print a replicate of your head?
Oh, please.
No, I'm serious.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay. All right.
But, and there was another outfit there too called Shapeways. Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. It is, I guess it's more like a service bureau.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Printing. Yep. Yeah. And that made me wonder, well, then, like, do they sort of compete at the low end anyway with Proto Labs then? Or I don't know. Or our local, what's the other one here? Stratasys. But
well,
they're printer manufacturers.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the early days of desktop publishing when a local guy here started ASAP, and he started it on 50th and Xerxes.
I remember.
And it was, and he had one of the first, he and his brother had one of the first Linotype machines for digital file output. And that grew into this huge printing operation that was on, is on Highway 7. Lake Street over there in South Minneapolis.
Is it still there?
It is. It's a shadow of its former self.
Yeah.
Because, you know, print has downtrended dramatically. But but the same sort of thing is going to hold true. It's going to be several years before we can buy printers to stick in our house and start printing stuff. So you're going to need a service bureau.
Yep.
Or $500,000 of extra cash. And, you know, Phil can do that, but the rest of us can't. So
I'm looking for $1.2 million next year.
To do what?
I don't know, but I'm looking for $1.2 million.
All right. Well, should get on Kickstarter. Put your ideas out there, buddy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, $1.2 million.
Come
exactly.
on, man.
I'm a little shocked that you guys have just decided to pretty much write off manufacturing in the U.S. I mean, you're writing off a big chunk of economic growth.
Oh, it's been on the decline for
yes, it has been on the decline. But what has our economy been doing in the last years too? It's been on the decline.
Yeah, well, I don't think manufacturing is going to save it, but it there are pockets of it, you know, that will continue to do well. But overall, macro, you know, I agree with Tim. I don't think we're going to be seeing a huge resurgence on a macro level.
Well, except though that, so if all the projections are correct by Motorola, HP, Intel, Cisco, that by 2020 we'll have 50 billion internet connected devices in the world, that's going to be just huge. And when I think of Spark and smart things, and you brought up Pebble, Phil, and Spark is now, didn't they do some sort of a partnership deal?
Yeah, with Pebble and simple things and
smart things.
That's it. Yep. Smart things.
Yeah.
Spark and smart things, which is obvious.
And then Twine. They've also tied with Twine.
Right. Well, so
they're Pebble. So how is the smartwatch going to work with the Pebble? So from the Pebble, you can like control the light.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I wish I would have gotten one of those Pebbles.
Yeah, you wish you would have gotten one of those?
If it ships, if it ever ships.
You mean
gotten one of those, a receipt for one of those?
What's the retail?
One of those a year ago when they first came out.
Yes.
What's the retail going to be? A couple hundred or more than that?
I think they said 150, didn't they?
Yeah,
around. Oh, that's not too bad. I'd buy one of those.
That's what I thought at the time. I thought, why would I pay them? You know, I don't know. I'll see what they got.
But here's the thing about the Spark and smart things and Pebble and all that is maybe not Pebble because that'll have to be assembled. But when you think about smart things, for example, if the four of us wanted to get into the sensor business and make sensors for specific vertical markets or that worked with SmartThings or for the consumer space, we're going to be able to create the IP and have the board level product cranked out pretty quickly. And maybe it's even chipsets. And why wouldn't that be here in the US? Cause that's, you know, it's not like assembling an iPhone where you need tons and tons of human, interventions and connections and assembly.
Robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Bad news though, Steve.
What?
SensorsRUs.com is already taken.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
That was the name I had picked out for our sensor business.
Well,
oh, shoot.
We're but these come guys up with from OpTech bought it already, and they send them to the OpTechInc.com site.
Well, let's go for .co.
Oh, okay.
There
that
we go.
Probably is still available.
Yeah, that's right. If they haven't grabbed that, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, so what's about the what's the deal with the Spark Holiday House?
I was talking with Zach, who's the founder of Spark, and they're putting together a little Spark controlled light display.
Oh, fun!
So look for that soon. There's a little scoop. There's a little inside scoop on that. So
wow. is it an open house kind of a thing, or is it?
Yeah,
just-
I think it's just drive by the house, look at the sort of a thing. Oh, I don't think anybody comes inside. No, it's basically, you know, it's holiday lights.
Well, unless they're going to do something where you can control it as you go by.
Well, that's the plan. Yeah.
I said, okay.
Via tweeting,
okay.
You know,
yeah. Okay.
That would be cool.
Get that would a be very cool.
Get a bunch of toddies going and, you know, go nuts.
As long as the drinking part is in there. Yeah, that's the important part.
Hey, it's the holidays.
Let's get the drinking.
Hey, kids, this is what they did in the manger. Oh, man.
I love that. So, yeah, you know, they're doing all sorts of different things. I haven't checked, Tim, I don't know, maybe you've already surfed over there. Where are they at in their campaign?
Where Spark is?
Yeah. Do you have it? Does that by any chance do you have that open?
Let's see. If I go there now, 93,377. 13 days to go.
They've got to have to hustle. Yeah. They got to hustle.
Yeah. I'll have to throw a couple bucks in there.
What's the total they're trying to raise?
250,000.
Quarter million.
Yeah. That's tough. I saw how tough that was with QFO Labs.
Yeah.
Trying to raise 230. You know, sounds easy, but it's not. They almost hit 100, though, and they're going to be selling them, taking pre-orders right on their website, which is what you can do after a Kickstarter program. Just start selling it yourself.
Well, so hopefully they make it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they'll do okay. It's a very cool product.
Very nice.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, so iTunes 11 is out. I downloaded it last night, and
what were you up after midnight or?
No, it was available at probably 9:30 maybe.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, you hit software update, and it was there.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, I do in fact like it. I just wish that it was not called iTunes anymore.
It seems like it's snappier.
It is
than old iTunes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, supposedly this thing's built in HTML5 and JavaScript, and that in theory they can also have it available on the web as a web app.
Yeah, I bet it's web objects under there, though.
Think so?
Yeah. Okay. Apple's got a thing about that. They just need to like invent something else. I mean, web objects was great in like 1996.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it looks good. I cloud integration looks good. It seems snappier to me than the old version did.
Well, and I've been reading stuff about how Apple doesn't get the internet, and which is why early on I was so excited about them being connected with Google, because Google did, but Google didn't get design and hardware, and so I thought it was the perfect match, which of course, like any match, 50% end in divorce. This looks more interesting. It's just that iCloud for me, I've had all kinds of issues with messages not being delivered on time. You know, it sometimes takes a couple hours, and syncing not happening right away because the servers are slammed. So I hope they make iTunes a much better experience.
Yeah, I think Eddie Q's on a mission now.
I think so too, especially with maps.
He's cleaning house.
Yeah.
After firing the maps guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, if that guy didn't know that was coming, I mean, you know, you'd think he would have been in Costa Rica partying already. You know, it's like, bring it on, baby. Hey,
he would have been, but he was lost. He couldn't get there. So,
yeah.
Oh, bump.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Try the veal. Tip your wait staff.
He was actually in Indonesia.
Right, exactly. Well, it was kind of funny. We were. Just a brief aside on the maps thing. We were in the van yesterday for the manufacturer's tour. We were actually using somebody's iPhone 5. And honest to God, the dot kept moving as far as where we were going.
Well, that's a test to see if you're paying attention.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, that was kind of interesting. So, anyway, so
yes.
On the iPhone front, T-Mobile USA going to get the iPhone? Is that what we hear?
That's what the rumor is.
My wife still talks fondly of T-Mobile. She loved T-Mobile, but how can they possibly compete with AT&T's investments and Verizon's investments?
Well, they're making them, and they're rehoming some of their spectrum so that it actually works with the iPhone now.
My question is, when's Minneapolis going to get the new 4G?
Well, it's available for AT&T.
Yeah.
No, for T-Mobile's. They've got like 15 cities with the new, what's it called? HSPA Plus or something?
Yeah, no, that's here.
Oh, it is here? We have that here. 15 cities?
Well, they're rolling out LTE too.
Oh yeah, so, that's coming next year.
Right.
Yeah, but right now you can get 4G speeds on smartphones on T-Mobile.
If you have one of their 4G smartphones,
right.
Yes.
Right. And ostensibly that will work when they have the iPhone.
Well, their new CEO has been repurposing some of their older spectrum to home into the HSPA plus bands that AT&T uses, which are supported on the iPhone in select cities. So we don't have that yet, but that's coming.
Okay.
So if you go to Las Vegas, for instance, I think that's one of the cities that has it. And iPhones on T-Mobile work just as well as AT&T.
I'll be there in January. Maybe I'll try it.
Except for the 5 with LTE. LTE doesn't work, but oh well.
Well, I was going to seriously entertain the idea of buying a full-price unlocked iPhone 5 until I saw that the pricing for the 64 gig was $849. I said, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think I'm doing that. That's just too much money.
It's a little steep.
It is.
$649 isn't bad, though, but it'll take you a while to make up that lack of data plan, or you know, it'll take you a year or two to make up for that, right?
Well, at least, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, so who went out on Black Friday?
Actually, I didn't go out on Black Friday. I went out Thursday.
Oh,
you did?
Oh, Thanksgiving shopper.
At like 9 o'clock at night?
You actually have absolutely no respect for the American worker, do you, Tim?
So technically, I did go out on a Black Friday sale, but it was on Thursday, and I didn't go anywhere on Friday itself. So,
was it like Thursday night, or did you go to Kmart at 8 a.m. on Thursday?
No, I went to Target because my daughter, who works at Target, who was working there, wanted some stuff.
God,
and she can't buy anything on the clock, obviously. So I had to go in and get the doorbusters of her choice. Oh. And what was interesting was there were, at the Lakeville store, there were, I would estimate, over 1,000, maybe 1,500 people waiting in line in what seemed like hurricane strength winds at the time.
Wow. Right.
And it was pretty cold. But they were able to get everyone in the store quickly. And, you know, we got in, I think, about 20 after 9, something like that. We got there like 5 minutes before 9. And all the doorbusters were still available, even those big, huge TVs. Hmm. So anyway, And then we went over to Walmart after that, and that was a mad scene. So, oh, yeah.
Fights and did gunfire break out?
No, but it was like a crazy scene. They had all these different spots in the store where they had their doorbusters sitting there, and everyone had to wait in line until 10. Yep. But the store had been open all day, so it was a very weird vibe.
Were there big bouncers and things, or
no? There were a lot of people there. I think there were like three times more people in that Lakeville Walmart store than there were at Target.
Huh.
So, wow.
But anywho, so that was the black.
But anywho,
we were back at home at like 11 o'clock on Thursday, so that was it.
Wow. Well, we ended up buying online. Yep. I mean, we didn't go out.
Did you have to wait in line for that, Steve?
Did not. No.
Yeah. He had to wait in line.
And wait in line on his browser.
On my browser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are customer number 14.
Well, my daughter wanted to go out at midnight, so we went out at midnight. Very low key. We did the mall in Burnsville. And it was very busy. No lines except at the Victoria's Secret store for what we don't know, but I didn't get in that line.
That must have been an interesting line.
Yeah, I don't know, some sort of yoga pants deal, I think. But we did hit Target and Walmart afterwards, and that was really strange, because about 1 a.m. or 1:30, both of those places were ghost towns.
Really?
Huh. Yep. They were empty.
Wow.
Did they have their specials still there? You know, like DVDs and
no,
Blu-rays
it was pretty,
and
it was pretty much all picked over.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hey, I got the first three James Bond movies that were in a six disc set for $6. What a deal.
Hey, there you
really
go.
Regular DVDs or Blu-rays?
No, they were regular DVDs, and they're the restored, whatever editions that came out. They came out like 10 years ago when they did the first 22 movies, and they remastered them, and they came out in a nice set and all that. But, Dr. No from Russia with Love and Goldfinger, good movies, and they have the special features discs for each of them.
Interesting.
It was $6 at Target. I went there to get some stuff. My daughter wanted some movies that were cheap, and I saw that, and I said, well, I'm going to get that.
That's a good one.
It definitely was.
So, wait, a Thunderball wasn't one of those?
No, because it's the first volume of a multi-volume series. So they have two for Sean Connery. I think they have three or four for Roger Moore, because he made way too many movies.
Yeah, he should have stopped at one.
Yeah. So that was the only one. They only had Sean Connery volume one. So volume two has Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, and Diamonds Are Forever.
Mm.
So
good movies.
Those were his six. Yeah. The first four, though, really good. And then it started to tail off. Although I do like You Only Live Twice a lot, because it's got a really great script and very interesting movie.
There you go.
Well, I have to tell you guys something kind of. Or Graham, do you want to mention something?
Chime in on something?
Oh, on Black Friday, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I stayed home gladly, and I can't even remember if I did any online shopping that day, but I've been doing some actually previously. I as you'll see on my gift idea list, I had already bought the Sphero robotic ball because it was right there at the Blur conference in Denver, and the company was there, and we had a lot of fun there. So, I did a little shopping beforehand and kind of took it easy and worked actually on Black Friday. One comment I was going to make, though, is I can't believe the, I don't want to say aggressiveness, but of Best Buy, but man, am I getting the emails and the offers from them? They have really picked it up. And that's doing good. some good things. I mean, it's bordering on spamming me, but I am a member of their whatever What do they call their rewards?
The rewards
thing?
Club. Yeah.
Reward zone.
Yeah. Reward zone. Yeah. So, you know, and they aren't missing a beat. I mean, it's like it might even be some days multiple emails, you know, special one day sale. And then I got a new card sent to me and I get like $20 of gift, a new credit card. I mean, and I get like a $20 something or other award with any purchase over $250. And I thought, well, maybe I'll buy a certain item there this month or next month and get $20 off of something I'd never get $20 off of anywhere else, you know? So they may get me in there yet.
Well, I have to tell you about something that was just bizarre. So I ended up getting a review unit from Albert Marucci for Verizon, the Nokia Lumia 822. Mm-hmm. And it's a $99.99 at Verizon with a 2-year activation. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll be happy to look at it and play with it and give it a review. And as I was going through it, I was realizing, you know, this is A, completely different, but B, it is so much more intuitive than Android in terms of just initial use. So the first time I picked up an Android phone, I had to start to look at the icons and try to figure out what they were doing at the bottom of the phone.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I started playing with it.
You couldn't figure out home and back? And
I'm not saying I couldn't figure it out. I'm just saying initially it wasn't as intuitive. And then certain modal behaviors that were happening in the interface didn't make sense to me. And as I was trying to explain to my sister, who has a Android phone, what she has to do to get things to pop up so she can make choices, she just didn't get it. And I was realizing that the way the Windows 8 interface is, it would be much more intuitive for her, who's a real tech newbie. And it was kind of a revelation for me because I really haven't just sat and played with it extensively like I have now. And yeah, like Julio always says, you know, you hear crickets when you go on the Windows App Store, the Windows Mobile App Store. And that's true. And if I was going to go out and buy a second phone or replace my iPhone, I would go Android just because of the momentum. But it was kind of a revelation.
Yeah, so. I think I've seen other reviews that have been very good for that new Nokia phone too. It's getting pretty well praised, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 920 is getting slammed for being too heavy.
Oh, okay. But
this 822 is really a nice size, feels good in your hand.
Okay.
So
there you go.
So maybe
I think the Windows Phone. I know that the App Store is far from as robust as the other two platforms. But you know, if you're a person that doesn't, you know, play a lot of apps or use a lot of apps or you know is app obsessed, the basic stuff is there. The stuff that you need to interact socially, the things that you really need to use production. You know, as far as you know, producing content. I mean, the tie-in with Office is very solid. So I think it's a good piece.
Well, and aren't our local friends at W3I with Flip Toast, aren't they one of the sort of featured apps? Have you tried that on a Windows phone?
No, because I can't download it onto the phone. I can't download anything onto this review phone.
I mean, it's got Facebook integration and Twitter integration.
Yeah.
So it's all available.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's just not taken off as far as number of apps. That'll take a lot of time.
Got to start somewhere.
Yep. Yep.
Somewhere. And I think that, you know, I think I might actually pick up a Windows phone if they were on Sprint, but Sprint has decided to wait on Windows phone.
Okay. Well, we were going to have our big holiday gadget buyer's guide extravaganza today and try to get Julio.
We still are.
Julio on. Yeah, we are. I know we are. We're going to try to get Julio Ojeda Zapata on. And
it's his loss, not ours. Come on.
And he's on vacation. So let's launch into it because we each have our own ideas. But Tim, let's hear what you think are great gifts for the holiday season.
Well, I have a Nexus 7 and I really like it. And I just put anything Nexus, so the 4, the 7, the 10, any of those I think would be solid choices. And you can just buy them at the Google store, or you can get them at retailers all over the place.
Like which ones?
Walmart, Best Buy.
Really?
Micro Center. I mean, all the places you would normally expect, except for Target for some reason. But they...
Oh, really?
I guess okay. Target has the Barnes & Noble Nook line, but nothing else.
And you can get mobile network connection on the 7?
They of course, sell the iPads and stuff there, too. But, yeah, you can pay a little extra. I think it's $299 for the Nexus 7 with a 3G data plan.
And if you compare the displays between the iPad mini and the Nexus 7?
Yeah. And the Nexus 7 is much better.
Okay.
It's higher resolution, and just the pixel density is better. So it's all around. It's much better.
And what version of Android does it run?
4.2.1, which just came out yesterday. And one of the advantages of having a Nexus is because it's a full Google experience, is you get the the updates. Even if you have the Nexus 4 phone, which you can buy through T-Mobile if you want, but all of the updates come from Google, so you get them right away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. They just automatically download.
Yeah, like yesterday I got a 4.2.1 Jelly Bean right on this thing, and it just pops up in your notifications. You install it, and you're there.
Yeah, absolutely, what was I going to say? It's no bloatware. That's the great thing.
Yeah. There's Google bloatware.
Yeah, well, there's Google, but you know what I mean.
What's funny is when you get it, so you get it, you log in with your Google account, and the first thing you see when it comes up is this huge Google Play Store widget, which covers the entire home screen, which has all of your stuff that you've got in the Google Play Store, plus some stuff that they give you. So they give you some magazines and a couple of books and stuff. So, but all the other stuff that you have. So it's very much like a Kindle Fire experience where all of your media is right there. But I trashed that because I don't want a huge Google widget on my home screen.
You know, one of the things that that I've been reading a lot about, because I follow all these different security blogs, is a lot of the malware that's been propagated throughout Android. And is there a way to secure this a little bit differently?
You can run some apps that do virus scanning if you want.
Okay.
So there's several free options that you can do. But plus the one that's a locator also, what is it? I forgot the name of it. I'll try to come up with it and put it in the show notes. So, but there is an app that helps you locate your device if you've lost it.
Okay.
And in fact, that app is called Plan B, which all it is a locator app. And it comes from a company that also has a full-featured app that does that plus virus scanning and some other stuff.
Okay. Well, let's round robin this. Graham, what's your give me your top pick?
Well, my gift ideas are start out with the obvious iPad mini and iPhone 5, of course, but I really, really love the Kohler wireless Bluetooth shower head. That is definite winner that I would use myself. So I'm hoping that's actually on my gift list. I don't know what the price is right off the top of my head, but
it's got to be expensive.
The link is, yeah, if it's Kohler, it's a quality shower head. But I'm getting sick of cheap shower heads anyway. So get the good shower head.
I can just hear it now at the Thiggins household.
Graham, what the hell are you doing in the shower?
Yeah. All right, Phil, how about you? Let's just round robin this. So what's your hot one?
I think that the ones that's probably most interesting to me right now is just the Arduino hardware. That's something that's pretty easy. I kind of liked it. Harkens back to the days of doing the old Redboard stuff on Radio Shack, Heathkits and things like that.
Okay.
But it's at a much higher level. So that's like a, that's not a bad investment. So
it's a good geek gift.
It's yeah. a very geek. It's a very geeky gift. And I think the other thing that I would love is an HTC Android phone with a 4.7 inch screen, 12 megapixel camera, quad core. But that doesn't exist. So,
well, it is if you're on AT&T.
No, it's, what is it?
It's the HTC One X.
Oh, it's the One X, yeah. But that doesn't have the 12 megapixel camera. That
like oh, I think it's like eight.
And it doesn't like have that. And does and it's not quad core, is it? Is the X quad core?
No, I don't believe it is.
No, so this is yeah. I'd like a small version of the super phone that's out there right now.
So what you want is a Nexus 4, but with Sprint bands, which they don't make,
And yeah, LTE opportunities. So
right, well. So my top pick is my first pick is the Roku boxes. So Roku, they go anywhere from $50 to $100. There's four models.
Stream on, Steve Borsch.
Well, but you know, the cool thing is that the low end one, my dad still has an analog TV and refuses to entertain the idea of an HD set. Don't ask me why. But the low end box, the Roku LT for $50 will do 720p video. But it also works on an analog TV. There's an analog out. And so that's pretty cool. And then, of course, the top of the line. Tim, I think you've got a Roku, don't you?
I do. I have two of them.
And which model do you have?
I've got the middle Roku 2, whatever it was, DX or...
XD? Okay.
XD, whatever. The middle of the one. Not the low-end one, but the one in the middle.
So that's the one for $80, and that will do 1080p HD video.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I got it.
Okay.
And I didn't think that the one that had the Angry Birds remote thing was worth the extra $10 or $20, whatever it was.
Well, for me, it would be worth the $20 just for the Ethernet port, because the rest of the models are Wi-Fi only, and so if you got a strong signal in your home theater area, that's great. But if you don't, it's not so great. So Tim, go ahead. What's your next one?
Well, let's see. Next on my list was the keyboard application for the Nexus. So if you have a Nexus tablet, a 7 or a 10, SwiftKey 3 for the tablet is really a good investment. It's $4. And even though the regular keyboard is pretty good on Android, this is better. And what I like about it is that it sort of like learns from your social network. So you log in with Twitter and with Facebook and all the names and stuff, it like looks back at those for spelling. So
Don't
misspell people's names when you're typing. And the prediction, you know, the predictive text is really good. So I find that I'm much faster typing on the SwiftKey tablet keyboard than I am on the regular Android keyboard.
Interesting. And it works in landscape or portrait?
Yep. Okay. Works in both, and it's highly customizable. So if you want a pink keyboard on your Nexus, you can do it.
There you go. What color is yours, Tim?
It's gray.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I just kind of stayed, you know. Looks good, though.
Gray.
It's nice. It looks nice.
And Graham, Victoria's Secret is next on your list?
No. The Parrot AR Drone 2.0. Next-gen.
From QFO.
Quadcopter with intuitive iOS controls.
So this is
best $300. You can control this thing from your iPad. It can go up hundreds of feet. And you know, you can do all kinds of fun things with it. So
yeah, see, that scares me. It's like, you know,
spying.
Graham thickens with air support. I'm not sure.
Air support over Lake. I don't know if I can fly it from Bloomington here over Lakeville.
I'm a little concerned to giving Graham a drone.
Drones are happening, man. They are out there. There's so much going on with drones. I've discovered that lately. It's crazy. So that actually for $300 is cool. But of course, you can get the QFO quadcopter for a lot less than that, as they'll be offering pre-orders on their site. And that's a very cool little machine too. You can actually attach your own camera. You know, it supports Arduino and all the hacking and everything. And you can actually put a little payload on that thing yourself if you want to have a video cam on that thing.
Oh, sweet.
So, there's so much going on in the drone you know, quadcopter space. It's wild, you know. And a little aside, did you see where Anderson, the former editor of Wired, left to go full time on his drone company? Yep. DYI Drones. Yeah.
Chris Anderson. So,
Chris Anderson. Yep.
Yep.
So that's mine.
Okay. Phil?
Where am I at? You know, some of this very basic stuff, the MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina display. I'd like to get that, not necessarily for me, but to get my kid for college. So
it's a nice box.
I know that's not very exciting. I know it's no Etsy handmade iPad cases, but it is.
Hey, don't be stealing my thunder. What are you doing?
So what was yours, Steve?
Well, my favorite is, and I'll put a link in the show notes to the page, but it's the Etsy handmade iPad case section of Etsy. And you know what? There are some really awesome leather ones.
Knitted beavers.
And I know there's some goofy things, but I've gone to Micro Center up on Highway 136th Street. They have the best collection of cases for any tablet, computer, or phone that I've seen anywhere in the Twin Cities.
Briefcases.
And
too.
Tons of them, backpacks. But I've never seen some of the stuff that is available on Etsy, anything even close to it. You know, little felt sleeves and all kinds of really cool stuff. So I'll put a link in the show notes. And the reason that I'm hot on this as a category is not that I have to have something special for me, but buying for others that need interesting and cutting edge stuff is. And my wife doesn't listen to the show, so I can talk about it.
There you go.
She doesn't listen. Why doesn't she listen to the show?
Because she's too busy. She listens to other podcasts, believe it or not, that are more female oriented.
What possibly could be more?
Well, stuff about philosophy and spirituality and stuff like that. Cool. Holistic medicine, wellness. So
cool.
Yeah, I know. That's why she goes to bed and then I watch the action movies. Okay, Tim.
Well, speaking of cases and pulling one off of Julio's list, Pad and Quill makes a number of different cases for Kindles and for iPads.
And they're a local company, right?
And they're handmade in Minneapolis, yeah.
Fabulous.
Kidding. Wow.
So for as little as $30, you can have what looks like a parquet floor cover your iPhone 5.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
The woodchuck case. I mean, that's a great name too.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. They're local. I really like this iPad mini. There's graduate
art, the graduate editions. Artist. Yeah.
It looks just like a Moleskine.
It does. It does.
It's really nice.
Okay. Moleskine or Moleskine. What is it?
Whatever.
Moleskine.
I like Moleskine better because it's an Italian company. Maybe I'm putting on airs. Who knows?
Could be.
Like European.
There is that possibility.
Yeah, but that's, I really like those too. And I'm going to get a mini, but I'm going to wait until it's Retina.
Well, wait till next year.
Next spring, maybe they're saying.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to pay $350 for it too. Of course, you'll get the super duper 128 gig model.
Yeah.
With Verizon LTE.
Yep.
So it'll be like $900.
And another $30 a month.
Okay, Graham, what about you now?
Well, my final one is one I mentioned earlier, the Orbotix Sphero robotic ball.
This looks really cool.
Oh, my God.
These
guys are just killing it out of Boulder. This was a Techstars startup like 3 years ago, and they are just really really killing it. They're available in, you know, Apple stores and Target stores now. But the cool thing is the accompanying apps you can get. And I would only say one thing. Don't miss Sharky the Beaver. It's so much fun.
Is it Sharky or Sparky?
I thought it was Sharky.
Oh, it is Sharky. Yeah, Sharky the Beaver.
Because it's such cool animation. And he wears a little fin on his back because he wants to scare people and make them think he's a shark. But yeah, the things you can do with the ball with your iPad, it's so much fun. So
what the heck is going on? hey, who's going to the bathroom?
$129, I think, the robotic ballers or something like that. And the apps, I'm not sure if there's costs associated with the apps yet or not. I haven't actually downloaded it, but they have upwards of 20 apps for this thing already.
Well, there's a augmented reality one, you know, on their website. Mm-hmm. Where it has Sharky the Beaver and the spherical ball is like right in the center. Something's wrong. That doesn't look right. It looks, should be at least PG rated. Anyway.
Well, Julio's just in time to jump in on the list.
Is he really?
Is that Julio?
Hey, hello? Julio?
Hello?
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 Maybe not.
No,
Not. It looked like his avatar there.
No, that was him. He was on.
That was him. Yeah, he was.
That was him, but he's antisocial.
No, I think he's going to futz with his connection. And
then call back, and then, yeah.
I'll try him. But the one that I... Okay, so Phil, you're up next.
I think that, mine are not as gadgety as yours. Just skip over me for right now. I'm gonna see if I can find a little more gadgety gift that I like. So,
all right.
A little
more gadgety. I want to mention one that, people really ought to go look at, and it's called HD Accessory, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And the reason is that their cases are unbelievably cheap. And there are cases that I've seen at Target and Micro Center and all kinds of different places that are $40, $50, and they've got them for $15 and $10 and $20. I mean, their prices are just phenomenal. And they've got them for Apple products, Samsung Galaxy Note and S3 and so on, and Kindle Fire. And really, really got some good stuff on here. So if you're looking for a case gift, this might be a good spot to check out.
You bet. Absolutely.
Mr. Tim, you want to do one more?
Well, I had to keep it local. I had the Spark and SmartThings on the list, you know, local mm-hmm. startups, mm-hmm. gadgets, control your lights, your house, whatever, your pets.
Yep. Yeah, I put Spark on mine.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
So keep it local. Keep it real.
Okay. Hey, Julio, are you on? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Julio?
No. The one thing, also the thing that I meant to put on the list was that, what is it? It's called the Plug Bug, which is that Mac accessory that has the you know, not only do you, it clips onto your power supply.
Oh yeah, it's red, isn't it?
It's red, and it adds a USB port.
Yep.
To be able to charge your Mac and also your device, you know, your smartphone or whatever you want.
Yep.
At the same time, I thought that was a nice little gift. It's $35, and I think that works very well.
That reminds me of another thing that you brought up a month or two ago, Steve. Is that thing out yet that you can plug into your Air? Is it sort of your SD slot for adding like 80 gigs or something? Remember that thing? Is that out yet?
I do, and I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
I definitely could use that because I maxed out my 250 gig solid state drive and had to go through a bunch of, you know, moving stuff around. I'd like that little deal you can plug into your SD slot and get a lot more.
Well, if I can make a suggestion, Seagate makes a USB bus-powered drive that spins at 7,200 RPMs. And
can you hear me?
Now we can hear you, yeah. How you doing?
I'm really sorry, guys. I was late taking my kids to school, and I forgot to take my phone with me. And my phone is the device that prompts me to remember things I'm supposed to be doing. And I kind of mentally blanked out that we were doing this. I'm really sorry.
No worries.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're just in time to get in. We've kind of gone around the horn a couple of times, Julio, on gadgets and gifts. Give us your top three.
Well, the iPad. Are you going to talk about the iPad Mini at all?
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's. I'm I've seen various surveys that that's kind of what people and notably kids are asking for this Christmas, and I've been comparing all the major tablets, and it's a deeply flawed device. But if you're looking for the best bang for your buck, you know, the best apps on a device that is a lower cost, I mean, that's really the way to go. And I suspect I'm making kind of a prediction here. I suspect that the iPad Mini will be the iPod Mini of the present day. You remember when Apple augmented its full size iPod line with the Mini? The Mini just was a massive success, and I think the iPad Mini is going to be something along those lines.
Yeah, it's quite a prediction.
Yeah, we don't have any sales numbers, but anecdotally, I'm hearing that it's pretty popular.
Does that mean that on the next round of revisions, we're going to see a pink and a blue and a green one?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I think Apple has an annoying tendency to sort of dribble out improvements to its devices. It'll come out with a device that's pretty good, but has some very obvious and glaring shortcomings. And in some cases, I think Apple does that because the technology is not quite there yet. It can't offer the technology at a reasonable cost, for instance, the Retina display. But in some cases, I think Apple intentionally leaves things out, sort of leaving people hungry for more. So I suspect the next generation of the Mini will have a Retina display. So if not having a Retina display is the deal breaker, I think people should hold off for the next version of the Mini.
Well, won't that have a kind of a major impact on battery life, though?
Yes, but as you'll recall, Apple, in some cases, with certain improvements in certain devices, has been willing to take a battery life hit, and the battery life on the Mini right now, as it stands, is so spectacularly good that I suspect that would give Apple a little wiggle room.
Yeah. What about your number? That's number one still. Well, number two, what's your second one?
Well, let me answer your question in a slightly indirect way. If the people who are listening go to bit.ly/JulioTechPicks, that's bit.ly/JulioTechPicks, all one word. As a sort of mental exercise, I put on a Google spreadsheet that's published on the web a list of all the tech products that I think are notable this year that I think would make, you know, fantastic gifts. Some of them I happen to own, some of them I've tested for the paper, and I've split the spreadsheet into two parts. One is Minnesota made or Minnesota designed, Minnesota spawned, or whatever you want to say, products, and the other tab is sort of general products. And so I've got several dozen. I can throw out, randomly throw out a few. The latest Samsung Chromebook. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah, isn't it like $329?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
No, it's actually a lot cheaper than that.
Is it?
It's $250.
Oh.
$250, and then they have a $199 one. So that $199 one, is that worth the trade off? Because I think that's not SSD, right?
That's the Acer. And you asked the question that other people have asked me that I was going to address here, which is a very good question. Is it worth paying the extra $50 for Samsung? And after using both, I would say absolutely yes, because the Acer is thicker, heavier, uglier. The keyboard isn't as good. It's just overall, it's just a more awkwardly designed device. The screen is slightly better than Samsung, but I think if you were looking at both on a table, you would immediately come to the conclusion that Samsung is the one you want because it's strikingly thin. It has a very Apple-like keyboard. In fact, overall, the device sort of resembles the MacBook Air, although of course, yeah, the laptop is made of plastic. But $250, it's kind of an interesting device, particularly for people who are already wedded to Google services, like my son is. And I did a little experiment with my son. He was using a Windows laptop for homework, And I, without comment, I took that laptop away from him and handed him Chromebook. And I basically said nothing. I said, I need this laptop here. Take this one and get back to work. I gave him no direction. I gave him no instruction. My son is a fairly resourceful kid, and he's also very familiar with Google services. So I was curious to see if once he cracked the lid on the Chromebook, whether he would have any problems, whether he would protest, whether he would complain, whether he would come back to me, I can't use this. What the hell is this thing? And I heard nothing, absolutely nothing.
But did you follow him on Twitter? Because he was tweeting, "What the hell did my dad give me? I can't do screen grabs. I can't, No, I'm kidding."
Yeah. No. And I was expecting some of that, and I got none of it. And so I came to the conclusion that in certain cases, for certain people, the Chromebook has arrived. If you want to run iTunes, it's not for you. You want to do a heavy video editing? Absolutely not. If you just want a web-friendly device to run your calendar and your email and get on Facebook and Google Plus, watch YouTube videos. One notable thing about the Chromebooks is they're now peppy enough to run 1080p, HD YouTube videos without any choppiness. The older Chromebooks had a little bit of trouble with that. That would have been a deal breaker for my kid. No problem. I was at the Mall of America a day or two ago doing an interview. I was interviewing somebody for a story that I'm working on, and we went to Caribou, and I logged on to the Wi-Fi network, fired up Google Docs to take notes, and off I went. I did activate the offline mode, because sometimes the Chromebook will be momentarily searching for the internet and not finding it for some reason. But if you activate offline mode and type a document in offline mode, you don't even need to be connected to the internet. And I did that, and it was perfect.
Wow.
So the I personally am torn. I'm somewhat conflicted because I have a rough budget of about $300 that I might want to spend on a device in the very near future, and I'm quite conflicted about whether that would be an iPad or a Chromebook, because I find enormous value in both devices, but they're very different devices. And the Chromebook is appealing because of the built-in keyboard. It's basically a laptop, and I can get massively productive on it without having to add an external keyboard, do fuss around with the iPad in order to do some of the same things. And since I use all of Google services anyway, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer almost.
Yeah. Hey, I like your tech list. And we'll put a link in the show notes. Tim put a link in the show notes here. Duluth Pack, some of these bags. I mean, really cool looking stuff.
And then I'm doing one other thing. I'm kind of on vacation, so not really working super hard on this. But on Google Plus, every day I'm gonna throw out tech gift ideas. Many of them will be some of the items that are on this spreadsheet. In some cases, they're not. But I'm gonna do a Google Plus series from now through the end of the holiday shopping season. Just kind of throwing out, discussing a little bit. Here's a product I think would make a good gift, and here's why. In some cases, I'll point to some of my older columns or stories. And so, if anybody who follows me on Google Plus or wants to follow me on Google Plus for the next 3.5 weeks or so, they're gonna see a steady stream of tech gift ideas that I'm throwing out to people. So I'm trying to do that in kind of a useful way.
Cool. And do you have one more?
Let's see. I almost also want to invest in a Kindle Paperwhite. That's a nifty little device if you just want to read. If you're out in the bright sunlight and you want to read, it's kind of killer. It's a little difficult to do that with any kind of a iPad tablet because the screen washes out. And in the summer, I'll go to the beach or I'll be at a pool or something. And essentially what I'm saying is I'd like to have a spectrum of devices that allow me to do different things and in different places so that I can do what I want regardless of the environmental conditions. And we're at the point where you could, you know, it's a little bit of an investment, but you're at the point where you could almost buy a Chromebook and buy an iPad mini and buy a Kindle Paperwhite and almost hardly blink. I mean, you're under $1,000 for all three devices, which is
incredible.
Remarkable. In fact, I was second grade teachers at my kids' old school, Capitol Hill, asked me to come speak about tech and journalism. So I had a lot of fun. I was very hoarse because the kids get rambunctious and have to shout over them. And my vocal cords were shot that day. But I made a very interesting point to the kids. I was standing there telling the kids, you know, kids, a long time before you were born and decades and decades ago, computers were the size of this classroom. And I sort of throw out my hands and dramatically, you know, point to the various points of the room and say, and they literally, computers were the size of this classroom. And the kids, you know, their eyes would get wide as saucers. And then I would say, you know, a decade or two ago, you know, much closer to the present day, computers were these big, bulky things that you could put on a table. You know, you could reasonably expect they're put to go on the table that the teacher uses here in the classroom. But then I said, and then I had a nondescript cardboard box that didn't have any markings on it. I say, and kids, guess what? Today, you can. I'm using my Julia talking to kids voice here. Today, can put seven computers in this box. And the kids were like, yeah, right. What were you talking about? And I opened the box and I took out a Nexus 7. I took out an iPad mini. I took out a Chromebook. I took out a Kindle Fire HD. I took out a Windows 8 phone. I took out an iPhone. And so I made the point to them that A, computers nowadays become very, very compact. And also along with that, the definition of what a computer is has evolved. And I would hold up a phone and I would tell the kids, this is a computer. I hold up an iPad, this is a computer. These are all computers. These are all different kinds of computers. So it amazes me. I mean, we live in the future.
Yeah, no kidding. Except we can't fold our cars up into a briefcase and we don't have Rosie the robot for a maid. Yet. Other than that, it's great.
Yet. I want my flying car.
I want a flying car too.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Please. Well, I was going
to put on Kickstarter.
I was going to put a couple of other things up on here, like the Think Geek store, stuff like that. Maybe I'll just throw that in the show notes, but, we're going to have to wrap up cause we're at the end of the show, but, we got to talk real quickly about upcoming events. Is there anything going on?
Let's see. We've got the second annual Minnesota Tech Holiday Bash. Just want to remind everybody of that. That happens on the 13th from 6 to 10 at the Aria at June Loon. Yep. It's casino night there. So that should be fun. That's a W3I event.
And oh, cool.
They got to do it up well. And don't forget about Mobile March in 2013, the 21st of March. Information and registration available now at mobilemarchtc.com.
Yep, and we're bouncing around a bit, but mini demo. I was with a client, and then I checked my email 2 hours after it came out, and of course, mini demo is gone.
An hour after I saw it. Gone.
Yep, we got to step up to be the sponsors or supporters or something. So,
and there's also a PHP conference set up, the Midwest PHP conference, for those coders that are interested in that continuing education and conference center at the U of M, the 2nd and 3rd of March in 2013.
Yep. Hey, Julio, is there any events that you, like to go to that you think are cool that are obviously a little techie, but ones that don't make our radar screen?
I doubt there's a techie event in Minnesota that would not make the gang's radar screen. I think that's
okay.
A mini demo is one example. I don't religiously go to everyone, but Even if I don't go to a mini demo, I pay very close attention to who the presenters are, because invariably I'll stumble on a company with some kind of consumer tech product that I haven't heard about that I want to write about. So it's reliably a source of good information, as is the Minovate gang, and as is tech.mn. That blog is quite good. I read all of the above religiously.
Well, I should mention that there is something coming up in Stillwater. A woman reached out to me who's one of the parent volunteers with the nonprofit that helps, called the Partnership Plan, that helps fund stuff in the Stillwater School District. They're having a huge STEM event, science, technology, engineering, and math, except they're doing science, art, and technology, called the Da Vinci Fest. Mm. And did a whole post about it, so you can read about that. But that's coming up in January. It's actually the 5th. And they're expecting more than 3,000 people to attend. 700 student projects, so it's going to be a big deal. And it's one that's why I asked the question, because I'd heard about this event before, but I didn't really know about it until this woman reached out to me, and then I started poking around and looking at it and thinking, oh my God, this is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And anybody can go during the afternoon just to walk and see the exhibitors, but also obviously see the student projects. And they're going to have 60 plus interactive exhibits and demos. So it could be pretty cool. I'm going to go to it.
And tomorrow, this isn't exactly an event, but tomorrow, FYI for people that are watching CCO, at around 10:15 or 10:30 or so, I'm gonna be on the CCO News, showing off some of the products that I think make good tech gifts. That will include, I'm expecting it momentarily, the new iMac, the super thin iMac.
Yep.
They'll have one of those on the TV.
Could you do us all a favor, though, to represent Minnesota technology properly? Could you wear a beanie that spins?
I have one.
You don't have one?
I don't have one, no.
Oh, geez. All right. Well,
I totally would do that if I had one. I should, the Joy of Tech folks, they actually sell those. I'll have to buy one.
There you go. All right. Well, this has been a good cast, and I'm glad you could make it, Julio. That was
thanks for making the effort, brother.
Yeah, no kidding, especially when you're on vacation. And thanks, everyone, for listening to
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Take care.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Be your man. If you give me the chance, girl.